another week, which means another Best One Warmer Show podcast. Yes, 105 if you keep your score at home, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bench Warmer Show. Keep the bench warm for you as always. I am, of course, the man himself, James Acevedo, a.k.a. Jimmy Ace, to my man across from me from the board, who gave me that nickname, is the one and only multi-talented Mr. Heavy Hollywood Clack.
Yes, yes, yes. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, what's up, man? Well, I wonder what happened this weekend. I don't know what to talk about. It's such a boring week of
sports.
It's
such a boring week of sports. I don't know what man. Where do we go for material?
I don't know. How do they do this? I mean, you know, it's just a hard thing to do.
I guess we'll have to deep. I mean, as you to say, as gorilla monsters say, reach deep down for something deep inside.
Yeah, yeah, the intestinal fortitude. You know, the immovable force, meaning the immovable object.
Right.
You know, 15 foot high steel cage, bleeding sulfusely. I always thought he said sulfusely. I get laughed at. But I'm telling you, if you hear Gorilla Monsoon soon, the late, great Gorilla Monsoon, by the way, he said it sulfusely. Right. But I never heard profusely. But that's how he's supposed to be. But he always said, he's bleeding sulfusely. So yeah, I'm thinking sulfusely.
Right.
And I used to say it, and people look at me, you sound like an idiot. What are you talking about? That's not how you say it's profusely. I said, well, don't blame me. Blame Gorilla Monsoon. He told me that word. I never heard that word until he broke it up.
The Gorilla Monsoon, I'll tell you one thing. And of course, you know, I don't like to talk about the dead. But he was so overrated as a wrestler. Like Gorilla Monsoon... He was not,
not as a wrestler.
He was
though.
Not very talented as a wrestler.
His best moment was, if you know, way back when Vince McMahon Sr. ran WWF, it was on TV. He fought a jobber, what they call in the wrestling business as a guy who just loses to the main guy or one of the guys that they're pushing.
Oh, okay.
And Muhammad Ali's in the audience.
I remember that.
You remember that? And he's like, take it, man.
You know, little kid.
Now, who don't love, I mean, as a kid, you're watching Muhammad Ali. You're like, oh my God, Muhammad Ali. So he's like, he's pointing at him, oh, I could beat you up. You know, and one of his boys is like holding him back, and Grandma's like, yeah, whatever. So then he gets more pissed off. He actually goes through, look at this. And that's when Vince McMahon was doing play by play back then. You know how Vince McMahon was all so over the top. Look at this. Muhammad Ali getting a ring with Gorilla Monsoon. And then, you know, he's taking off his shoes, his dress shoes.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he does his normal, you know, his boxing stance. So he just jabbing him. And Grandma was just swatting away. He's swatting it away like a fly. You know, and then Muhammad Ali stops and he just pointing at him. Whatever he said to him, yeah, you know, I could beat you. So he picked him up in the fireman's carry, the airplane spin, boom, put him down. And He was about to do more on him, that his people came, no. And then, like, there was chaos, whatever, and, you know, I'll get you. So then, Gorilla Monsoon, can you come down? I wish I had the clip. Gorilla Monsoon, can you come down here? What just happened in there? He goes, oh, no, this, you know, guy, you know, this boxer, he thinks, you know, he don't know a wrist lock from a wristwatch. He don't know what he's doing. Like, you know, I could have, you know, after I put him in that fireman's carry and threw him down the mat, I could have broke his arm, broke his leg, da-da-da. Oh, thank you, Grandma. Soon back to you. Yeah. Oh, it was just, I'm paraphrasing, but.
I remember that vaguely.
You know what I'm talking about. That was like the mid-late 70s, yes.
Gorilla Monsoon and Muhammad Ali. Yes. Well, speaking of Muhammad Ali, the guy who said he was better.
Oh, who's this?
Muhammad Ali.
Who's this?
Had some sort of fight.
Oh, was there a fight?
Yes.
Gee.
That was a huge fight. And we talked about it a little bit on the Head and Holly Digital Spirits.
Which was very good. I listened to it again today.
Oh, great.
And I was enjoying it like a fan. I was laughing my ass off. Well, all the sound bites we did, you know, with the ring, you know, bing, bing, bing.
That was funny.
It was fun.
But now, it's the fight.
Actually, you know what? I had a punch down and didn't even use it. I should be punched right now in the face for not using it.
Oh,
damn.
For all of these stuff that went on, it is now continuing.
Yes.
As we all know, Floyd Mayweather defeated a Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao in a 12-round unanimous decision.
That's right.
That a lot of people were not happy with. And for the reasons of, and we went over this before and on other shows, for the reason of saying the fight was boring, the fight was, you know, not worth the $100. And my response to that is, with Floyd Mayweather, why are you surprised?
Exactly. I was about to say, that's why I didn't spend.
Right. Because if you go on YouTube and look up Floyd Mayweather fights, every last one of those, 95% of fights look like the fight that happened Saturday. All you have to do is replace the opponents. You know, so you replace Manny Pacquiao with, John Marquez, and replace Marquez with, Canelo Alvarez. I mean, all the fights pretty much look alike.
Mm-hmm.
He times you out. You may get a couple of rounds early.
Mm-hmm.
By around the fourth or fifth round, he pretty much has your timing down. Got a couple of runs, throws a couple of hard rights, and then pretty much just shuts you out every time after round seven.
That's right.
Usually a shutout by then. So for the people who were upset at Floyd Mayweather, I don't get it. I said, that's on you.
Yeah, that is on you.
You should have been upset at Manny Pacquiao, who promised everyone, that him and Freddie Roach, that they were going to knock Floyd Mayweather through the ropes. They were going to knock him out in the seventh round, I believe Freddie Roach said. And, be mad at him because they did not take the fight to Floyd Mayweather. They did not make Floyd Mayweather change his style. They left him right in his comfort zone, and Floyd took advantage of it. People have to understand, it's not Floyd Mayweather's job to entertain you.
No.
He's out there to win and not blemish his record.
Yeah, he knows that's his legacy. That's his real money maker, even though he has tons of money. But the man knows where his bread and butter is spread.
Yep.
He's not going to fight the fight you want him to fight.
Right.
Your style that you want him to see, because he's never been like that. Right. And like you said on Monday night, he told you all this before the fight, what he was going to do. Yep. And he did it. So why are you mad at him? And you still brought it. Well, you're like, it's not like, it wasn't like these fights like back in the day, like with the ear-biting incident with Mike Tyson, the real deal, Holyfield.
Right,
fight with the fan man coming in the ring. Well, I forgot what, I thought it was Tyson.
That was Holyfield Bow.
Yeah, Holyfield, yeah. But
the
that
guy flew in.
Okay, yeah.
It was outside, and the idiot flies in and gets caught in the lights.
Yeah, so it's like, it wasn't nothing like that. It was a straight up, okay. You wanted something exciting, then put in Rocky movies,
Right.
Or put in those old heavyweight fights. Which the styles of those heavyweights are, like Mike Tyson in weight time, he come at you, boom, boom,
right.
boom. But that's not Floyd Mayweather. It's a welterweight fight.
It's a welterweight fight.
Let's not forget, this is not a heavyweight fight.
Right.
This is not even a middleweight fight. This is a welterweight.
It's a welterweight.
So I don't know what you expect.
And he's not going to be the fight that way. And the thing is this, Floyd, when he says, to entertain the people, he generally believes that him putting on this boxing lesson is entertaining people.
Yeah.
But they're not. Like I said, it's not entertaining people, and I kind of made it equivalent to what the San Antonio Spurs do.
Yeah.
They go out there while you're high-flying, dunking, alley-ooping.
Which we'll
they're
talk
just
about
like,
soon.
Okay, yeah. We'll just hit it off the backboard, backdoor pass.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, the Spurs win, and you go, oh, that team's boring. I can't stand watching them play.
Man, that could be boring. They won five championships later.
Right. So Floyd Mayweather is going to box the way he's going to be conservative. He's going to be calculated. He's going to be meticulous. And he's looking for the W and the W only.
And that's the bottom line for him.
And that's the bottom line. I know other people don't like it. They don't like it most part because it's Floyd. I still condemn that if this was Manny Pacquiao that did this and the situation reversed, and as long as Pacquiao won, I'm sure there would not be many people complaining about the $100, especially if they were rooting on Pacquiao.
Oh, and you know what would have happened? If Pacquiao would have won and the Shoulder thing came out in the news, what a warrior! What a warrior! He beat Floyd Mayweather, but he did it with a screwed up rotator cuff on his shoulder. Oh my God!
What a defensive lesson that
puts an exclamation point to who is better. Would have been. Come on, man!
He went out there with his own style and then put a he showed him a boxing lesson. So everyone, most people were disappointed. 3 million people who bought it. So then,
which generated over 400 million, is what I heard.
What happens is, after people start to talk about Pacquiao and his performance, Pacquiao comes out and says he had a bum shoulder, and he
come on, but right, that's why I don't like it. Right, come on, right, fight, come on, man.
And he had it 2 weeks prior to the fight, okay? Of course, he's not going to have the fight canceled because he would have lost his money.
Well, that's the bottom line. So let me just say this real quick, and you can continue. Now, when I heard this, I first heard this Monday night, you know, when Heaven, you know, the man, the myth, the legend. Actually, he's not myth. You know, the great, one of the great ones of all time. You know, it's just a saying they say in the business. But I heard this. I was like, oh, come on, man. Because, you know, that's just sour grapes. You know, oh, you're just finding a way, an excuse. Whoa, just because my shoulder. Well, like Heaven said, you and Floyd Mayweather, you fill out a form.
Right.
Where it says, okay, are you hurt? Do you take a certain thing or whatever right. the hell? And you check off yes, no, or whatever, right? Now, they could have given you a cortisone shot if you said, oh, well, you're my shoulder.
Right.
And then they would have been, well, wait a minute. If that's the case, you might have to not have this fight.
Right.
And see, you didn't want that. And I don't blame you. I'm not going to hate the man right. for that. My thing I don't like about it is he used that as an excuse at the end. If he would have said, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I did have a bump. Let's say it was leaked out. Or, you know, he didn't say it, but someone. Yeah, you know what? Okay, I did. But you know what? I didn't want to use an excuse, and I didn't want to lose my big payday. I didn't want to disappoint my country people in Philippines. On ESPN, they showed him in a big auditorium. Because he's bigger than the president of the United States over right, there. He's a senator, like, you know, we were saying. He's a senator over there in the Philippines.
Right.
So, you know, the pussy falls out the sky for this guy if he wanted to.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, tons of his country people. And that's beautiful. I'm not knocking. It's great. I love it. Matter of fact, I can understand because I even heard his country people still saying, well, because they asked the guy. There was a correspondent there that lives there. That mm-hmm. follows, you know, Pacquiao, blah, 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 sports over there, et cetera. Right. And I forgot the guy to ask him on ESPN. He was like, well, do they feel disappointed in Pacquiao, blah, blah. And they were like, well, no, because for one, he's looked at as like a god. And two, they felt he won anyway. But they're the type of people. See, Filipinos are the type of people, they're not going to get upset and cause a riot. You know, unlike certain people. I'm just saying. they just left orderly fashion. I know, I swear to God. Okay. I saw a video
on
this.
I don't care, he won. I don't care what
no, they were like, well, I don't give. I don't care what Dominicans say.
Right.
He won. And you know what? That's loyalty. I understand. I'm not,
right.
you know, I understand. That's their guy. They don't have too many people big time
right.
in the sport world. So I understand
So if you don't knock him out flat, they're going to say he won.
Yeah, they feel with it. Just like Pacquiao was like, well, I thought they won.
Right.
I thought they won. And then he comes out with a bump shoulder. Now, if you would have said, like I said, if he would have said, yeah, you know what? Okay, it got leaked out. Yeah, my shoulder was bad. I should have had surgery. I shouldn't have fought. But you know what? I did it for my people. Because who knows? He probably takes some of that money and help his own country.
Right.
Because he's not. I'm just but saying, you got to put people, all this. You got to. So I don't knock him for right. not bringing.
I don't knock him either.
Don't use that as an excuse that right. I didn't win the fight.
People say, oh, people do it all the time. I don't knock him for taking the money.
No.
I would have took the money.
Come on. We would.
Who's not going to take
the money? I'd be smiling too.
All right, $100 million.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah.
But I would have done. Listen.
But don't use that as an excuse.
Don't use that as an excuse. How about this? This may be a little far-fetched, but how about this?
Go ahead. Let's fetch
how
it.
How about.
Let's far-fetch it.
And I guarantee you, maybe if he does this, you tell me how many people pull out. If he says, before the fight,
go ahead.
I just want people to know, I have an injured shoulder. So that's pretty much, buy at your own risk. He's pretty much telling you, buy at your own risk. I have an injured shoulder, but I'm not, no excuse. I'm going out here. Because I don't want to let down my people. I don't want to let down the people who waited 5 years. If you waited long enough, I do have an injured shoulder. You know, that injured in training camp. But we're going out there at that point in time, get the cortisone shot, whatever the case may be, and we're going to give it 100%. Now.
What did you say, man?
You know, all those people that would have bought the pay-per-view would have been outraged, man.
How many?
Because most of them paid way ahead of time.
How many?
Not including the tickets. Well, the tickets were different.
How many people do you think would have at that point pulled out? Or that didn't buy it?
Well, first of all.
But some people did buy it. I would like to get the number of the people who ordered it that night.
I wish I got to look that up. I mean, I gotta find
how many? If you could get the amount of people who ordered the fight on the same night on May 2nd, I guarantee you, if 3 million watched it, I guarantee you at least half of them did not order it tonight. Because when I went, he didn't even have it ordered until
got there. I've heard, we didn't actually talk a bit about this on your show on Monday, but there were a lot of issues with the cable, the connection, and the picture was pixiating.
The contract,
I guess it was almost crashing on all the people that wanted to see this.
The actual contract didn't even really get signed until maybe like less than a week away from the fight.
Oh, and by the way, there was a lot of pirating going on. I'm just saying.
Digital pirating, a lot.
I actually thought about it.
Because a couple of people I know watch it. They're like, yeah, I'm watching it on a squiggly TV, but I can see mostly the majority.
But first of all, that person's stupid if you're going to put it out in public. But I'm just saying, I thought about to look it up that night, but I was like, you know what? So, I said, nah.
And there was a lot of people that they caught because they were trying to crack down. There was probably people that got like 4 or 5 rounds in, and then by the time, they cut it off.
They sent that signal, knock that shit out.
But the thing is this, Floyd Mayweather had said before that he's got one more fight. That's in September. He wasn't fighting anymore. But then, according to Stephen A. Smith from ESPN, he texted Stephen A. Smith and said, I'll fight him in a year after surgery.
Now, let me just stop you for a second. Do you think, besides the payday, it's one of those things like, okay, I'm going to shut up the critics once and for all because I don't want to hear this excuse, because Pacquiao had a bum show. You know what? All right, go ahead. Wait a year. And when I do it again, you all owe me a fucking apology. You think it's that to that point, besides the money? Money's obvious.
Right.
But you think it's like at him, not that I don't think
he
really cares.
He won't get as much. I'm telling you that right
now. He won't get as much. That's true. But do you think there's a part of him that bothers him that people are using that? You only beat him because, Pacquiao wasn't 100%. So he's like, fuck you. You know what? Fuck that. I'm going to give a full year, so I don't want to hear shit. Right. He's going to be fully 100%, and I won't fight him till he says he is, to make him take a lie detector test, him and his trainer and his camp, and make sure everything is squared away. So when I beat him again, I don't want to hear it. Now, to me, I don't, personally with me, I don't think he should do it. If I was him, I wouldn't do it. Not to be scared, because you proved your point to me. That's on him that he went to, to fight, I don't know. You could say, all right, because he had the bum show. You know what? I'll give him one more chance. But how does he deserve a rematch when he lost the first match?
Right.
He would deserve a rematch if, Pacquiao won and Floyd Mayweather won. Then I would see that in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah. Right. No way Floyd Mayweather's going to go out like that. No way. No freaking way he's going to. So, but the other way around makes no sense. Like, it doesn't benefit Mayweather. I don't know. Right. He proved his point. His legacy is never going to be tarnished, with the exception of what he does out of the ring. I'm not saying, he's not a great guy, and I don't really care for him. But you have to be fair. I said this last week. I said this all along for all these 2 months leading up to this fight. If whoever deserved to win, deserved the credit, regardless of the background. And let's just say this. We were saying this off the air. Pacquiao is not Mr. Choir Boy, okay?
Right.
And I want you to bring that up because I love how they don't bring that up.
They don't bring that up.
But yeah, Floyd. Floyd, the biggest scumbag in the world.
We all know about Floyd's transgressions. We all know about Floyd's issues, domestic violence or what have you. But what they failed to mention, this is my thing. I have no problem with you bringing Floyd's stuff up, but don't act as though Manny Pacquiao is a church mouse.
Give me a break.
Manny Pacquiao, of course, is what they call a crooked he could be looked upon as a crooked politician because federal tax invasion.
I didn't know that until you brought it up.
He was not reported for his campaign money and stuff like that he didn't report. Mm-hmm. So he was facing tax invasion. He also cheated on his wife with multiple women before. And he's also allegedly fathered children outside of his marriage.
Mm.
And his wife was going to leave him at one point, but then she decided to stay with him. They worked it out or what have you. So let's not, he's not Floyd, but he ain't perfect either. All this stuff about, Jesus is the light of the world, and he's such a perfect church-going seed, man. Knock it off.
Knock it off.
He's had his issues too. Just like Floyd said, nobody's perfect.
Only God can judge me.
Right, only God can judge me. You have issues too. But, you know for a fact, everyone that said, no, 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 fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, or fool me once, shame on you, shame on me, whatever the case may be. Everyone that says.
Whatever the saying is. But, the first one I think is the right one. Yeah.
They're not going to fight. Let's just say you pop down $100 for the first fight.
Yeah.
And
which I didn't do.
Right. Let's say you did. Second fight, coming out. You buying that fight?
No. I didn't buy the first one. Why would I buy the second one?
A year later?
I'm telling you.
Time heals a lot of things.
And what did we say Monday night? Those same people, oh, I will never again pay $100 for this type of fight again. And I guarantee, what did I say? I just said it two nights ago. If they announce it's going to be a rematch, you could go to blogtalkradio.com/dollhouseradio and download or play in the media player, the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience, when we talk about the Mayweather fight and the ignorant shit that happened in Las Vegas. So, you know, make sure you listen to that. And I said on there, if they announced, which I didn't think there was going to be soon or whatever. I just say hypothetically at the time, two nights ago. If they announce there's a rematch, those same hypocrites. Oh, we'll never spend money on a fight. And, you know, my background, I'm just a good guy or girl, blah, blah, blah. They would be the first ones. Oh, it's going to be a rematch? Oh, well, maybe. Okay, because now we found out that, you know, Pacquiao had a bum shoulder. Right. You know, I feel so bad for Pacquiao. And you know what? I'm going to drop this, whatever it is. I don't care how much it is, because I want to witness when he will lose, because there'll be no excuses. He'll be 100%. That's why Pacquiao lost. You know, I bet you if he was 100%, he would have beat up Floyd Mayweather. Right. And I'm not going to miss it one bit. And that's why I say, go kiss my ass, because you're full of crap.
Everyone, listen.
Go talk the talk and walk the walk. That's why I'm always saying.
I'm not doing that.
But I'm telling you, I'm not. I'm consistent. I didn't do this one. I'm not doing that.
But now,
I knew what was going to happen.
But now you see, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah, you know,
the people,
when it's officially announced,
right? The people that are saying right now are this fight was worse. It's terrible. So now you're talking, and it's going to be a year later. Floyd Mayweather's going to be 40. Pacquiao's going to be 38. Mm. There's no freaking way. If the fight wasn't any good 2 years ago,
what would be different?
What's going to be different later? And then they're going to say no, and then.
What do you mean?
They're going to turn on that TV,
uh-huh.
And then they're going to hear,
Benjamin,
a year ago.
it's going to be like a theater trailer.
A year ago they met in Las Vegas, which would be the fight of the century. Mm-hmm. You know, just a year removed away from a shoulder surgery. He went into the ring knowing he had an injury and still managed to win four rounds with an injured shoulder. Uh-huh. Now just a year removed from surgery, he's back to claim what he feels is rightfully his.
I knew
Mayweather, Pacquiao 2, now. You're not getting that fight? Who's not getting that fight?
You thought it was over. The first time you said you would never pay for $100 again for a pay-per-view with Floyd money.
You found out after he lost, and they played a sound bit. I had an injured shoulder.
You know, they do it over exaggerate.
Right, I had it in the shoulder.
I thought I won.
But I had it in the shoulder. That's the reason why I didn't fight. I want a rematch. You know, he wants a rematch. He comes back. Now you're going to think. Now this is when people start thinking Floyd at this point is 49-0. This fight with Pacquiao is going to be 50.
You know, that's probably how they're going to do it.
It's going to be 50.
You know, that's probably how they're going to do it, probably.
And then
it'll probably be 2 years from. You might be right.
And that's going to be the one.
You're absolutely right.
People
will
say, he's back. Oh. He's healthy. Floyd is 40.
He
can stop it. He can stop him from breaking the record.
Yeah, Rocky Marciano, the great Rocky Marciano.
And on top of that, remember, a smart guy. He's going to be out of that contract, so this is going to be, he's going to be a free agent, and networks are going to be all going to the bank
Oh, hell
to
yeah.
Try to get this fight, mm-hmm. the 50th fight mm-hmm. on their network. This is going to make more money than the fight that they just had.
Think about
because
it.
Number one, it's going to be fight number 50.
Yeah, he's for the 50th win.
Showtime's going to be fighting HBO.
The stipulations
NBC's
are.
NBC's going to jump in
the
there.
The stipulations are huge. Yep. If Floyd wins, he's 50-0. If not, Pacquiao's the man that stopped him from being 50-0.
I'm telling you, it's just a rematch because before, the only reason Pacquiao didn't win is because he had the injured shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And now this guy's a free agent. He's no longer under Showtime's contract. So now you're going to have to bid for that fight. I'm telling you right now, you're going to see stations out of country to get it. You're going to see HBO fighting against Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be fighting against, you're going to see NBC with all their money jump into it to try to be, to have boxing the biggest rematch because we're so sorry what we did to the public. We're going to put this on regular TV.
Regular TV.
Or ESPN or ABC, something like that.
Yeah.
We're going to pay Floyd Mayweather a certain amount up front, and we're going to have this fight on ABC or on ESPN.
Or NBC with those three main guys.
They're going to cover this fight. Since boxing's back on NBC on Friday nights, these guys are going to cover the fight.
They will cover the fight.
I'm telling you. I can see people. Now, me personally, I don't think Floyd should do it.
I don't think he should do it.
By then, he'll be 40, and I feel he'll lose because I said that if Pacquiao fought him 5 years ago, I thought Pacquiao would win. And I said if this fight takes place anytime after 2015, I think Pacquiao will win.
Yep.
I think Floyd, who's already losing interest in boxing, think by then you're 40 years old, it's much harder to get in shape.
You mean
you're lackadaisical, you're sluggish.
You got enough money for generations in your family.
You're not going to care. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's got to get back down to 147 as he's getting older and older.
It's a lot of work. Just so much work. You know,
I wouldn't fight him again. It's tough luck. You should have been in shape.
There's nothing to prove. See, that's why I'm saying it doesn't benefit him. It benefits more for Pacquiao. So don't fall into that trap. And, you know, as the coming attraction will go, ladies and gentlemen, the big announcement. Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather 2, where if Floyd Mayweather wins, he'll be hit the half century mark of 50-0. But if Pacquiao somehow stops him from 50-0, middle of America, which means a lot of white people will be so happy to see that Pacquiao stopped him from 50-0. The war to settle the score once and for all. Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, 2017. Buy it now for $300. Yes, we know it's a lot of money, but your dumbasses will pay for it. So kiss our ass, because you will pay for that shit. I'm rich, bitch.
You were serious about that?
After they say, you know, you're going to pay for it, you think, how many people at that point would still buy it?
You still, my motherfucker, let's all get together. You know, we put, us 10 motherfuckers, and we put in, like, you know, or whatever, $50 a piece or whatever the fuck, you know, $25 a piece. Let's see, we got to see this fight. Come on, man. To me, like I said, bottom line, I think, to me, Pacquiao doesn't deserve a rematch. I'm sorry. He could cry all he want. No. I said, hey, you had your shot. Those are one of those lifetime moments. You had your shot. You had it. That fourth round alone. That was your time to shine, as they say. Oh, I made a rhyme. See, three times I made a rhyme. And see, that's how tired I am. It's off the cuff. So, it doesn't benefit. If I'm his father, you know, whatever, I said, dude, you don't need to do it. Just
don't
fight you one
it.
More. You fight a
it.
Bum,
yep.
49-0, and screw the record. They can shove up their ass. Because, screw it. You don't need to prove nothing. There's nothing in it, unless it really bothers him, which I don't see Floyd being that way. He's like a Barry Bonds type where he don't care what people think.
Right.
So why would it, unless it's a ridiculous, even bigger payday than he even got this past Saturday night. And even so, I'm like, well, but what is it? You know what this reminds me of? It's just like in 1998, Michael Jordan, he went out perfect. The last shot, boom, winning shot over the Utah Jazz. Everyone thought he pushed, you know, what's his name? Which he did, let's be honest. It was a foul, offensive foul, but hey, right. It's Michael Jordan.
What
a
shot. Especially nowadays.
Yeah, oh, but,
offensive foul.
Oh, my God, you sneezed on somebody.
Probably would have got technical.
Oh, my God. So he made the shot. I was like, wow, perfect. Sixth championship. He took the final shot to win right. that, just but, like he first he did with North Carolina. Boom. Okay, he got divorced. We understand. Blah, blah, blah. He comes back on the Wizards. And I was like, big mistake.
Right.
Floyd Mayweather, don't do what Michael Jordan did. No matter what happens.
Don't come back on the Wizards.
Don't do that.
I understand that you still wanted to play, and then Chicago, I don't know what's going on with them. They're the only team that whenever something's going good, they decide, well, you know, we've won too much. Let's not win anymore.
So the bottom line is, as we close this part of the Floyd Mayweather Pacquiao fight, is that you know, I'm not surprised what happened. You shouldn't be surprised what happened. Most of the fans, or so-called fans, that basically maybe, you know, not really real boxing fans that complained about it, was because they thought it was gonna be like a Rocky movie or something. They just thought it was gonna be bigger, because a lot of people have said that. And I was like, well, I don't know how you see that when Floyd never was like that. He's not a slugger. Never was. And he would never play to your style. Because why would he do that? And why would you do that? If you put yourself in his shoes, why would you step out of your own comfort zone?
But people are saying that only because they wanted Floyd to lose.
Oh, big
so,
time.
So why, like I said, if he did something for 47 fights and it worked all 47 times, why should he change?
Just for you.
For you?
Why? To satisfy you?
Right.
Like, yeah, you?
You?
You? Being all those people. You?
Right.
No, I don't give a shit. And bottom line, real quickly, now Pacquiao might have a Class D felony lawsuit because good. Of him not bringing up that, his bum shoulder and he needed some shot, you know, cortisone shot, whatever. Well, that's on him. And that alone, to me, he don't deserve a rematch.
Right.
That's his fault. That's his camp's fault. You had the opportunity. Now, like we said earlier, I don't blame him for not wanting to cancel, because you're disappointing a lot of people, and more importantly, yourself, because that's a big payday, $100 million, whatever the hell he got paid for a Saturday night. Understood. But don't use that as a crutch after the fight. You want to say, you know what? I did have that, you know, whatever, but guess what? I didn't use that excuse. No, I still excuses, wanted to fight, and that's not the reason why I lost, because that's an excuse. It's like in sports when they say, well, I was 100%, but it's not an excuse that why we lost. You know,
like,
certain
like
teams,
the coaches, you know, like the other night, the coach said, well, we don't have so-and-so, but you know what? That's not an excuse.
You know, it's not an excuse. You know, we tip our hat to, blah, blah. That's what you should say.
That's what you should do.
Don't say, oh, I thought they won the fight.
I had an event, but you know what? You know, if you go out there, you have to perform, you know.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is, you know, Floyd also said, well, you know what? I don't put a lot of stock in that because, hey, everyone knows that I have problems with my hands. I've had, you know, I have two bruised hands. I also have a calf issue, or whatever. But
I never even knew that.
But a lot of people also saying, yeah, but you won. If you didn't win, would you have brought it up?
He might have probably did. Which now, to me, two wrongs don't make a right.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you should use that excuse. Just say, look, yes, was I 100%? No, but it's no excuse. I did it for the money. Right. I didn't want to lose all that money because who knows if we could have rescheduled this.
Lose the money and on top of that,
and I understand that. And I respect that. I don't got no problem with that.
You don't want the fans to be disappointed.
Yeah, and especially his country people, his own country, man.
My whole thing
and women.
Why even say anything?
You shouldn't even say that. Matter of fact, even if it was leaked out, you don't have to admit that.
No.
You could say no. Well,
that's ridiculous.
No, that's a ridiculous accusation. I said it right.
Yeah.
And even if that was true, I wouldn't use it as a crutch. It's no excuse. I lost. Bottom line, case closed.
Right.
Now, you still want to say you want to have a rematch after that? Okay.
Right.
But Floyd doesn't have to say yes. Because why does it don't benefit him?
Doesn't. The only thing Floyd got to do is lose. He got stuff to lose. There's nothing to gain from a rematch.
He has a lot to lose.
Yeah.
The legacy. He don't need to do that. I mean, I'm saying this. He won. If he lost, it would have been a different story.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he does not.
Yeah, don't do the Michael Jordan mistake.
Nope.
You took the last shot. You won. Go out like that. You want to fight? You one more fight. Matter of fact, he did say that. I remember seeing somewhere. You want to fight one more time. I mean, that's what he said at the time.
Yeah.
Do that. Go out. You know, enjoy your life, man. Your family, kids. Don't act stupid no more. You know, even though you're going to be stepping away from the ring very shortly, at least in the next couple of years, I would think. And enjoy your life, man. I mean, shit, like you told me the other day what he said after the fight. He was basically saying, look, you know, I want to enjoy my life where I'm coherent and I know, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, I don't want to be, you know, where I don't know where the fuck I am.
Right.
You know, I mean, and like you said, he perfected, well, let me not say perfected, but he, like a saying I've always heard, it's not how hard you work, it's how smart you work. And that's how he did.
He said it's all about working smarter, not harder.
Yeah, harder doesn't mean you're going to achieve what you want to achieve. You do it smarter,
right?
The chances are you will succeed. Besides who you know, by the way. So now we move right along.
Yes, moving along.
Oh, by the way, I don't know which one to touch first. We definitely going to basketball, but what to touch first? This thing where James Dolan just don't know when to just... Now, if anybody doesn't know, okay, I'll go with it. I have to say this, cause especially as a Knicks fan. Anybody doesn't know, I woke up today, and I'm seeing in my thing, oh, yeah, you know, James Dolan hired Isaiah Thomas. And I was like, what do you mean, the basketball player? You mean the basketball player that's currently playing? Not, you can't be the old guy, you know, the original Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
No, it's Isaiah Thomas. He's going to be the president and part owner of the New York Liberty, which is the WNBA franchise here in the league. First thing I thought of was like, oh, my God, he found a loophole. Mm-hmm. To bring this guy back, because everyone knows for years they're buddy-buddy, for whatever reason why. Here's where loyalty can bite you in the rear ass, because business-wise, it is stupid. James Dolan said himself a few years back, oh, we can never have him back as the Knicks because, you know, the media scrutiny and, you know, after everything that's happened, you know, with the sexual harassment thing and the disaster what he went through as when he was the president and, you know, he was a coach later on. They had him as a coach, blah, blah, blah. And why would you want to put him through that again? We're smarter than that.
Right.
So that's, and this is why this is bullshit. You have him as the president and the part owner of the New York Liberty. Guess what? The Liberty and the Knicks practice in the same facility.
Right.
Now, who's to say he is a undercover agent for James Dolan to look after what Phil Jackson is doing, what he's saying, what the players are saying.
Right.
I'm just saying, devil's advocate. I haven't heard no one bring this up. This is what I see. If I'm Phil Jackson, I'm like, the fuck is this? And you know they didn't consult him first about this. Not that they need to, but I'm saying he probably woke up like, well, knowing Phil Jackson, he's like, well, I don't give a fuck. I'm earning, you know, $17 million. I'm $12 million a year. I don't give a shit. But the thing is, Isaiah Thomas could be watching him to make sure he's doing what he's supposed to do. You know, basically, James Dolan's pigeon, basically coming back to him and say, right. So what did you hear today, Isaiah? Well, right. I saw Phil Jackson. Actually, I saw Phil Jackson talking to one of his people. He said, fuck James Dolan. You know, he's an asshole. You know, oh, really? Oh, okay. He'll write that down, you know, okay. So he used it against him later on. And then when he leaves, because I don't see Phil Jackson the whole 5 years, I just don't. Because I think eventually what will happen when the people at the Lakers management with the son who's stupid and he, you know, comes to his senses and there's a chance to bring him back, he'll say bye and go back to L.A. with his lady who's in charge of the Lakers.
Right.
I know eventually sooner or later. I just see, I smell, this is, there's something fishy in Denmark. I don't like this. I mean, I know the WNBA, I don't care about that. It's just that, it's just that Dolan don't know how to get his own way. It's a joke. It's just ridiculous. What do you think? Your feelings about this, man? It's such a joke.
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna be honest with you.
It's ridiculous.
I really, maybe because I'm not a Knicks fan or whatever. But
yeah, I know.
I do know what took place with Isaiah Thomas, and I do know that, you know, a lot of Knicks fans are like, oh, just get that guy away from this building.
I'm not surprised he's back, by the way, in some sort of capacity. I'm not surprised.
But let's put it into perspective.
Go ahead.
It's the Liberty.
I know, but you know it's more than that, man.
And I'm going to be honest. I forgot the Liberty even existed. Like, the Liberty have not been relevant since Teresa Witherspoon, probably.
I met her one time, yes.
since Teaspoon.
Yep, Teaspoon.
I just don't think at this point in time, number one, he's got Phil there, so I don't know what he could possibly be doing. By the way,
Bill Laimbeer is a coach, the former bad boy. So you got the connection there.
There you go.
Yeah. Bill Laimbeer.
So he's got him there. He's going to be Lambeer's boss.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be honest. I'm saying to myself today as I'm listening to radio shows, and these guys are saying, oh, but, you know, they're talking about the playoffs, and they go, but where we got to start here is what everyone's talking about. So I'm thinking it's the Pacquiao thing.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Thomas.
Like, are you kidding me?
You guys are leading with Isaiah Thomas. Of course, we didn't. But you guys are leading with Isaiah Thomas coming back to the New York Liberty. I just don't care enough.
The reason I brought it up because I'm a Knicks fan and I see deeper into this.
And you're not alone. A lot of Knicks fans also say.
Frank Isola is laughing his ass off right now, the Daily News. Because he said alone, one way or the other, Isaiah Thomas is coming back. In some sort of capacity, I'm just not surprised.
It's funny how Knicks fans, they just do not want Isaiah around.
Okay, this goes deep with me. I remember from all the way back what he did where he and his boys in Detroit, when the Bulls finally passed him in the Eastern Conference Finals 1991, walked off the court with still time left on the clock, didn't congratulate, because he just like walked out, which I hated that. That was not
and
cool.
That really put a damper on Isaiah's legacy.
Yeah, it did. Everyone, make him look like a sore loser.
Everyone hated him.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons. Okay, so when he came to the Knicks, you know, in 2004, around there, 2004, and he was making good moves at the time, you know, with all these moves he was making, you know, Stephon Marbury, blah, 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 blah. He was making actually good moves. But then he traded one too many. I remember like yesterday. I forgot the actual trade, but he did one too many moves because actually the Knicks were actually not doing too bad. And then it just went downhill after that. And then he eventually became a head coach after they got rid of what's his name that's in college right now. You know, he was with the Pacers. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Famous coach. You know, he's a...
Larry Bird.
Not Larry Bird. You know, he coached the Pacers when Reggie Miller was there, you know, before Larry Bird got there. And he coached the Pistons to a championship.
Oh, wait. To the Pistons? What, Daly?
No, not Daly. No, not Chuck Daly. This is later.
The Pistons?
Remember, he beat your Lakers in 2004.
Oh, Larry Brown.
Larry Brown. There you go. Larry Brown. They're probably still paying his ass. You know, I remember like yesterday, him and Isaiah Thomas hugging in their press conference.
Oh, jeez.
And it was a big lucrative contract, and he didn't even last like 2 years or whatever the fucking. But the bottom line is, just don't be surprised if shenanigans happen, and don't be surprised if one day, Isaiah Thomas is going to be part of Nick Mann. He's going to be.
After Phil's contract is up.
Be a Sonari advisor or something. You just know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, I just know, and then slowly he'll be the guy that owns the Knicks. I guarantee you. James Dolan is gonna put in his will when he drops dead. To my buddy, Isaiah Thomas, I give him the New York Knicks.
You were serious about that?
Yes. I don't be surprised. Another 5-10 years from now, I'm just saying.
Right.
Oh my God. The Knicks can. Then that's why the Knicks will never win. Never. It's cursed. They just. The shitty management. Don't know what the hell they're doing. Oh my God, I'm scared about this. When is this lottery drawing? By the way, is this coming up soon?
Well, the lottery's going to be
soon.
Playoffs, right? So I believe the lottery. Does the lottery happen during the finals?
Usually happens like the conference finals or some shit, like around that time.
So it'll be sometime next week or the weekend.
Who knows what? Hopefully they get the first two. And even if they do that, I'm scared they're going to trade it. Don't fucking trade the pick. I don't want Kevin Durant. I don't care what you say. I do not want Kevin Durant. I don't want him. I don't want him. I don't want him.
I would take Kevin
disaster
Durant
all over again. I'm telling you.
No. I would take him in a heartbeat. He's 27 years old. No. He's coming off the one foot injury. But there's no. I mean,
I just see disaster. I'm telling you.
But I don't understand why. Like, what do you see? You said you would take Westbrook.
Yeah, because he has.
Why would you take Westbrook over Durant?
Okay. Mental toughness. I see Russell Westbrook. He doesn't care. He goes out there. He takes charge. Where Durant, You notice when Westbrook is not on the court, now he's the man. But if there's a alpha male personality on his team, he's not the leader that everyone thinks he is.
Well, Westbrook's going to have to deal with Carmelo. Carmelo's not taking a back seat to Russell Westbrook. You know it, and I know it.
That's going to be clash.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But
Carmelo is not going to take, wherein Durant would just probably sit back and roll his eyes, but Durant would never say, hey, dude, give me the ball.
That's probably why Carmelo would like him.
Probably, and they will probably work better.
I just know it's gonna be, because I remember when they got Stephon Marbury back there. I was like, oh my god, we got Stephon Marbury, Coney Allen zone, Stephon Marbury. Oh, this is great. I mean, and look what happened. It could be exactly, you know, almost like that. Not that he would do dumb shit off the court. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying injury prone and
right now. If I'm the Knicks and if that was and we're going to option, I wouldn't just say okay. I'll just take Kevin Durant over all options. Well, I probably would. I mean, Kevin Durant's the best available player. He's the second best player in the NBA. I mean, he is when fully healthy, and he just got injured this year for the first time. So everybody's saying, oh, he's done. He's injury prone. He got injured one time this year. And Kevin Durant is the dude that he's going to go for 30 probably almost every night. He's going to shoot 50%. He's going to probably shoot 40% from deep. He's going to shoot 90% from the free throw line. You know, I'm telling you, if you get Kevin Durant and you play Carmelo at the four and you play Durant at the three, you got the two best scorers in the NBA on your team.
But aren't they both small forwards, by the way?
They're both small forwards. However, so is LeBron. LeBron played the four. And remember, Carmelo was playing the four the year that they won 50 games.
Yeah, he wasn't playing his three. Yeah, he wasn't playing the three.
He played very well. He played the four. Power forward, on top of that. Uh-huh. That's what it is most of the time now in the NBA.
Well, there's no true power. Let's be honest. There's no true power. There's no true centers. There's no true power forwards.
No true centers.
There's no true small forwards.
Power forward to play in center. Small forward to play in power forward.
I know. I'm just saying. I wouldn't touch it with Tim. I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it. I'd rather build with Vin, get one of the top guys, go from there. I'm just saying, don't trade that pick. I'm just saying, I don't know. I have a bad feeling. I have a bad feeling, man.
I mean, but
I know what you're saying, but I don't. I just don't agree, man.
Okay, so you and the funny thing is, I'm more on along because of the injury. You're saying even if he guaranteed 100% healthy.
I think he'll be.
That's interesting.
He will be the NBA A-Rod in New York. He'll be in his mind. He'll be thinking too much. I just see him as that type of guy. I don't see him as a take charge type of dude. I just don't.
So you think Westbrook's personality would fit in better in New York?
Okay, you could say, isn't he like a Rajon Rondo as far as personality wise?
Except
Rajon Rondo's more of a, you know, he's really more of a head case. Yeah,
Rondo.
I don't want him either, to be honest. I don't want Rajon Rondo here either.
Oh, no. You don't want him, especially after this year.
No.
Speaking of Rondo, you know that in the playoffs, the teams vote on whether you – it's strange.
What is that?
They vote on your shares of the playoff money. You know that the entire team voted against him getting nothing. Voting for him getting nothing.
No so kidding.
He's not getting anything.
Wow, I didn't know you could do that.
From the playoffs.
No kidding.
I didn't either.
Wow, that's news to me. How come we didn't know about
he's
this?
He's not getting anything. They voted that Rajon Rondo gets nothing.
Senator, you want my offer now?
Wow.
You want my offer now, Senator?
Yes.
Nothing. I gave you nothing, Godfather.
Wow.
So I give you nothing.
So, yeah, he's... pretty much getting nothing.
You get nothing. It's like in like a Wally's chocolate factory. Whatever. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. Which I had that. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir. So, by the way, now we're still NBA. What's his name? Curry got the MVP.
Steph Curry, well deserved.
Well deserved. I didn't see the. MVP. I heard a little bit of
James
his speech.
James Harden was the backup.
Oh, he was the backup.
James Harden was the
second. The runner up.
LeBron James finished third.
Okay.
The speech was a very good speech. It's not as emotional
like Durant
or personal Durant.
Yeah.
But a very good speech.
He did something about his father. I heard his father. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
And he pretty much said, you know, to the youth out there, don't ever let anyone tell you you can't do it. You know, I was a 160-pound kid that no one, and a lot of colleges didn't even want to take chances on me. A lot of people told me.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, a lot of people told me that there was no way I would ever be a successful NBA player. They had me at like a 3-point specialist, a guy that just comes at the end of the game and try to find a little bit of field for $300. You know, it's just, I'll tell you this. Curry. Okay.
I'm going to play Jeopardy music in a minute.
This is what I think of Curry. He, when he first came on to the scene, if you remember, the Knicks had
that chance to get him. I know. Don't. I was going to bring that up. I know.
Was the Knicks' fault? Was not the Knicks' fault. Golden State just jumped in front of him.
Yeah.
But do you remember when that year, Hasheem Thabeet went number two? So let's just think about all of the teams. And the talent scouts that they have to live with. Hasheem Thabeet, that was the year Blake Griffin went number one. Okay. Hasheem Thabeet went number two. Now, if you remember correctly.
You got beat, all right?
You remember correctly, Minnesota had Kevin Love.
Yes.
Okay. They had two of the first five picks. They chose Ricky Rubio from Spain.
I remember. Yeah,
and then and they had the fifth pick. They took Johnny Flynn, who's not even in the NBA. Wow. They took two point guards back-to-back because Rubio wasn't going to be able to play right away. He was still in Spain or what have you. Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio, and then Steph Curry was seven. James Harden was in that draft, too. He's number three.
So that's Blake, a pretty good draft class.
Blake
what year was that, like 06 or something like that?
Somewhere in there. Yeah. It was Blake Griffin, Hasheem Thabeet. James Harden was three.
Nah, he's good.
I believe they took one other guy, Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn went before Steph Curry. And Steph Curry, he basically said, you know, he was a kid. You know, he basically, you know, he had saved up $300 to try to pay his coaches to let him play on the team.
Wow.
You know, he didn't really get recruited by any of the big schools.
Wow.
They saw him in high school. He was like 130 pounds and like 6'2", 6'3", 130 pounds. But they didn't want to take a chance on him. So like I said, he thought he was just going to be a specialist in the NBA if he ever made it. So then the school, Davidson, his school. Matter of fact, the head coach, Roy Williams,
that sounds familiar.
Roy Williams is the head coach of Carolina, I believe.
Okay.
He used to be Kansas and Carolina. He said he never even gave him an extra thought.
Wow.
He's not going to make an NBA.
That's amazing.
And
look at him now.
Right. And he's the MVP. And it just goes to show you just cannot put a degree on heart.
That's right.
And determination.
You either have it or you don't.
Yep. Heart and determination.
You're born with it.
Because, you know, you talent, you've seen so many guys with talent.
More talent than him. More talent than him, yes.
And you've seen so many guys with not the most talent in the world go to the top. He's now the MVP. He's only, I believe, 27 years old.
To be 27 again.
Yeah, 27 years old.
Damn.
His team is going to probably win the championship if everything goes right.
Yeah, they lost the first game, by the way, to the Grizzlies.
Right, they did lose the first game.
That stopped the streak.
They lost the second game.
Oh, but I'm saying it stopped a home streak of 20-something.
They haven't lost since January in their building.
I thought it was longer than that. Oh, my God. seriously, David. Yeah, they lost only two times the whole year at home? No, seriously. It was like only once, two times or something?
They lost very few games at home.
Oh, my God.
They ended up finishing with 68 wins. That's only, what, four off the Bulls?
Oh, the Golden State has 68 wins?
68 wins.
Wow, I didn't even realize it was that high. Wow.
Steve Kerr, good job taking Mark Jackson's team and winning 68 wins.
Yeah, 70 and 12.
So
unbelievable.
You know,
actually, 72 and 10, what I'm saying. 72 and 10.
But last night, One-Eyed Charlie, Mike Conley came back. He had a broken face. He's got.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Got a steel plate in his face.
What's up with everybody breaking their face? Just like Westbrook earlier.
Right.
You know,
his eyes are bloodshot. His you know, he said he lost a lot of the weight and lost a lot of the energy. Mm. But he came out there, and from the opening possession, he came out there and took the Memphis Grizzlies, to put him on his back, and said, "We're not going down 0-2." And they did not. They played a very good game. They played a very defensive game.
Yep.
And I believe they held the Golden State Warriors to 90 points.
Yep.
Somewhere in there.
The final score was 97-90, the Memphis Grizzlies.
They held the Golden State Warriors. So now with Conley back and it's 1-1, and of course, game two tonight for Cleveland and in Chicago, with Chicago up one game to none.
It says right here,
The Houston Rockets are probably the biggest disappointment over the last few days. And here are the Houston Rockets. And let me tell you something. I want Kevin McHale fired. Because
first of all, no Chris Paul in his game, because what happened
game seven?
We should talk about that game seven, which is a great game seven against the Spurs.
But it's painful to talk about.
But we have to talk about it. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. We said we were
going
to talk about
it. No Chris Paul after he comes from a heroic performance.
Real quickly,
right.
I have gained... Not that I always like Chris Paul. Matter of fact, he should have been a Knick, but we all know what happened. He wanted to come to Knicks, but of course they couldn't do it. Because that's Carmelo's buddy. That was Amari Stoudemire's buddy.
Right.
He should have been part of the three, the big three. But anyway, that's long story. You know, long history. Old history, actually. He got hurt with his hamstring during that game.
Yes.
He had to go back to the dressing room, come back out, blah, blah, blah. He played his heart out. He had big shots, not even including the game winner. I remember watching that going, oh, my God. He got that. Oh, he did it like a teardrop or whatever. He got it in. I'm like, oh my God, with 1 second left. And then what made me like almost felt a little bad for the Spurs is that here they are. They, you know, the Spurs have no timeouts left. They took their last timeout. So they try, you know, how sometimes if, which the Clippers didn't have a timeout left, you know, how sometimes they call a timeout to see what the defense is going to look like. So they're about to inbound the ball. The buzzer went off. And yo, Popovich, I don't blame him. Popovich and the owner of the Spurs
went
berserk. Absolutely. And I don't blame him. They, yo, I know you're at your home court because you have some sort of respect. Like, really? Like, you know.
And then, I'll tell you.
And then I remember Popovich was like, do you think that kind of cost you a little bit? Well, not to make an excuse, but, well, they can see our defense after that. Well, yeah. Well, so, you know. But the bottom line is this. For a dynasty as the Spurs, and I have so much respect for them, I've never seen a dynasty that has never won a back-to-back championship like that.
Yeah,
they never won
a back-to-back championship.
And they've lost first rounds before after winning a championship. I'm shocked. I was shocked.
I'm very surprised. You know, that goes – that they have to change this format because you don't want to see the Clippers and the Spurs, one of them have to go home in the first round. They need
great
to
series,
change,
by
they
the
need
way.
To change the format to the best team to the worst team.
Well, that's what they should
do. The best team plays number one, plays number eight. Number two, plays number seven. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Tough break for the Spurs. They were right there that game. They were leading early in that game. They also blew a game in their building the other night when they were up 10 points in the third. You thought maybe that the Spurs were going to pull away from.
It was more of a road series, with the exception of Game 7. Everyone won on the road more than they did at home, with the exception of Game 7.
You know, Duncan didn't have two bad games in a row the entire series. When he did have a bad game.
Man, another guy that played with a lot of heart. He defies the you know, Father Time. That's for sure. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
Unbelievable.
Old man Riverwalk.
Oh, my God.
And, Jesus. You know, he played excellent again in last game. And then Duncan hit two big free throws down the stretch. I mean, he's just amazing. So I was hoping that the Spurs would stay in.
Yeah,
because I feel though they're the only team that could beat Golden State.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not surprised. I'm not convinced yet that the Clippers can beat Golden State. They might. I just think that playing shorthanded eventually is going to come back to bite the Clippers.
Yeah, especially with Chris Paul. But I would sign for right now a Western Conference final with the Clippers and Golden State. You know that the only thing that would...
That's going to be a bloodbath. The two teams hate each other.
Oh, that's another thing. And that's what makes it even better, too. For the Western Conference title? Oh, my God. For the right to go
those
to the
two
finals?
Teams hate each other. You know Steph Curry's been hearing all summer about how what's the other guy? Chris Paul has been hearing all summer long about how Steph Curry's embarrassed him. Mm-hmm. He was a meme on Instagram. He was a trending topic for 2 days mm-hmm. after that crossover from Steph Curry. Right. Where if you can look it up, you should see the memes that they made. If you say Steph Curry crosses over, if you look up on YouTube, Steph Curry crosses up Chris Paul. You'll look at it and you will die laughing. And then on top of it, I believe that Golden State was also the team that he dribbled, you know, through his legs, through five guys in his legs. And then you can see Curry jumping up saying, no, timeout. And then Curry's like dribbling. He was in front, dribbled in back, between five
and three. Oh, I know you're talking about. I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
And then Curry's like, say time.
Oh, never mind. But Curry was right, though.
Right.
So, I understand where Curry's coming from.
Right. So, you know, that's the matchup you want to see because they don't like each other. But let me tell you something about the Houston Rockets. You talking about a gutless performance. You have a team here that just went to a 7-game emotional series with the world champions.
And no Chris Paul.
Now they had Chris Paul for the game. Now, here comes your game. You're well rested. This team's going to a 7-game emotional series. Mm. Chris Paul is banged up.
Yeah,
now you announce you're not going to have Chris Paul, and you're at home. and you got blown out. And you're sitting here, you're looking at McHale, and you're saying, when are you going to make an adjustment? He is the worst head coach when it comes to making adjustments on the fly. He's the worst head coach, and it's only because he has Dwight Howard and James Harden and all these good players. Uh-huh. He now has got a deep bench where he can almost go 10 deep. Mm. And this guy is still losing games to a team that had Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin sharing the point.
Unbelievable. And
so I'm telling you right now, I would not be shocked if I'm the Clippers. I got my split. I'm benching Chris Paul again. Mm-hmm. Because I want to make sure when I go back to L.A.
He's more rested. Yeah.
And now we're just going to wail on him.
Because you have a free game to play. Not saying that you want to lose. Right. You know, make an excuse. But now you have nothing to lose type of game.
Right. You have one on the house.
You have the... Well, not the home court advantage. Well, if you win this one tonight, then you definitely have a home court advantage.
Right. Well, they got it now. They stole it in game one.
Yeah, they stole game one. So, to me, I would take the chance. Why not? Because then you have because then there's a couple of days off after the fact.
And then you have Chris Paul.
Because with these rounds, it takes like 2 months to finish one round because it's ridiculous. Like the old days when it was every other day or whatever.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, James Harden, he scored 20 points, so not too shabby. You know, that game, 37 minutes. Dwight Howard, who I can't stand, 22 points.
Right.
And
Harden actually did not play well. He didn't take a lot of shots. Now, you're used to him controlling the game and taking over the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got people asking, what the hell is going on?
Especially in Houston side. Right. You know, the Houston media. You know.
Right. What the hell is going on with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, game one, like you said, what did he do game one?
You talking about Harden?
Harden. What was it? What did he shoot? 13 shots?
13 shots. He was 13 for 6.
6 for 13.
I mean, 6 for 13. I'm sorry. 6 for 13. A little under 20 points.
A little under 50, 20 points.
Yeah. 37 minutes. In 37 minutes.
That's not good enough. You know, he has
12 assists.
He's got to score over 30.
Yeah, he has to.
What do you have? 12 assists. Or what do you have? 20 points, 12 assists?
He has 12. Yes.
He's got to at least score a high 20s.
5 rebounds, bro.
Yeah. He needs to go high 20s, low 30s, and keep other guys involved. There was a point where they were starting to make a comeback. They went to Howard 3 consecutive times. I believe he scored 3 times. And then next thing you know, he doesn't go back to him again. And I'm saying, throw the ball into Howard. You know, play off of him because they're going to eventually have to double team. And that's when you have wide open threes. He believes that, you know, I don't understand if he doesn't believe what? If you're not shooting threes, you're not trying.
I know, right? Well, that's the problem. Anyone thinks they can shoot threes.
And, you know, so that's the whole thing with Houston. I have no confidence in them whatsoever. As far as Cleveland goes.
I think Cleveland win that series.
You think Cleveland? I think I picked Cleveland to win
the
series.
And the Clippers, I mean. The Clippers. But I won't be surprised, even without Kevin Love, now he's done for the rest of the year, you know, playoffs, that Cleveland can still pull this off, but that Kevin Love injury might hurt him. The Bulls have this is their opportunity to finally.
If the Bulls don't beat LeBron James this year, they'll never beat them.
Yep, there's a big chance.
You got the catch thing.
It's like the Knicks with the Bulls in '94 when Jordan was retired.
Right. Lewis is, I mean, what's the guy's name? The... Rose.
Derrick Rose. Yeah.
Right. Rose is back playing playing great. Mm-hmm. He had a great first game. Mm-hmm. They're very deep. Gasol led the league in double doubles. Mm-hmm. If they can't beat the Cavs without Kevin Love and with J.R. Smith in the first two games, they'll never beat him. Mm-hmm. This is the year for the Bulls to give it. They got Derrick Rose. They've been waiting for him since 2011. Yeah, they got Derrick Rose back healthy. Yeah. You got Gasol. You got Taj Gibson, mm-hmm. Joakim Noah,
yep.
Paul Gasol, that's Derrick right. Rose, Paul Jimmy Butler, who's the most improved player and an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
You have the fake Dirk Nowitzki, this guy, Marodic, whatever his name is. You have all these players. Kurt Heinrich's back.
Heinrich.
You know, Mike Dunleavy Jr. is decent. I mean, you got all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Cleveland, who LeBron James, of course, to me, is still the best player in the NBA.
No doubt.
But you got these reckless guys also that's on there.
Yeah.
With J.R. Smith.
Once again, him acting like an idiot.
Right, these people. So.
And Shumpert.
Right. Shumpert, who actually played very well game
but
one.
But he flipped. It's not consistent with him.
Right, he's inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
So can they still beat the Bulls? Yes, of course. If they ever lost tonight, I don't think they would beat them.
Okay.
If they lost tonight and went down 0-2 and had to go to Chicago, I do not think they get out of here alive.
By the way, I know he's had this look for a while, LeBron James, but didn't he do like some hair transplant or some shit?
That's why he had to.
That's why you don't wear the headband no more, right?
He's saying...
Oh, here comes the bullshit. Here we go. Here we go. Here it comes. That's why he don't like him.
He took off his headband.
Oh, come
so
on.
He can be more in touch with his team, so he can look like his teammates.
That's the best thing he can come up with? Like, are you serious? That's the best he can come up with?
He wanted to look like his teammates, a unity thing. And
oh, wow.
He wanted to look like his teammates.
Yeah, really?
Or do not want to aggravate the forehead tissue.
Alrighty then, whatever. I don't believe that for a minute. So oh, by the way, what's his name? The head coach of the Bulls. I heard like a sound out for him after the first game. Listen to how he sounds now. He actually sounds like Phil Jackson. This guy, what's his name? The head coach of the Bulls.
Thibodeau.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he sounds just like, well, you know, you know, we shot, 47%. I said, oh my God, is that Phil Jackson or that's Thibodeau? I'm like, oh my God. I was like, wow, he sounds like a younger Phil Jackson.
Right.
Because his voice is shot because he's always like, you know, he's yelling consistently all the time. So I see a clip. I know there's still a lot of time left in these playoffs, but I think the Clippers, this might be their shot to go in the finals, to tell you the truth. I think they have a chance. Even though Golden State is the team, this is their main chance to do it with Doc Rivers. I felt happy for Doc Rivers. It's funny. After that game seven, I actually felt bad for the Spurs in a way, but I felt happy for Doc Rivers. I like Doc Rivers. And especially after what happened with him, especially what happened with all the – a year ago with all, you know, the Donald Sterling stuff, what have you. You know, that new owner they got, and I mean, he's really into it. You know, he's like, oh, my God. He's like really like a fan that owns a team and – you know, I wouldn't mind if the Clippers do go to the final. It won't bother me.
No, I not.
But I like Golden State too, to be honest with you.
Not at the Spurs. My finals was Spurs Cavs.
Yes, you did.
Rematch.
Me too.
Of back then, but but the Spurs messed it up by losing that last.
Thank
game
you, Spurs.
And not getting the second seed.
That guy didn't.
So
put money
I'm
on
going
it.
To say.
You're going to say. Wait. Hold on a second. Hold on. What,
a lot of you people.
Not that. Anyone pick that. wait, here we go. Drum roll, please.
I'm going to say Clippers, Cavs, Finals.
Clippers, Cavs.
Right.
Finals.
And that's it. I think you only get two chances. I screw up one. I don't think now if the Cavs go, oh, my real pick is.
Wait. I know, you always do that. Well, you know, I'll change my mind again. I changed my mind again.
This is my backup pick.
My backup pick is.
Golden State.
and
the Bulls.
You were serious about that?
The Bulls facing their own Steve Kerr.
Interesting.
Right.
I think Golden State wins that, by the way. I think Golden State wins. even though it's about defense. Right. But because that's what and everybody plays. That's why Golden State. That's the only thing that concerns me with the Golden State Warriors. But we'll see. Yeah, I think it's gonna be. I'm just thinking right now, just for the hell of it, Clippers and. I still say Cavaliers. I don't know. There's some. I don't know. Until otherwise, I say Clippers, Cavaliers. Otherwise. But my backup, like just like you did,
right?
I'm gonna say.
Bulls.
Golden State and Bulls. Wow. What is...
Everything. If the Golden State loses to Memphis, Memphis and the Bulls.
Yeah, the Memphis and the Bulls. Well, that'd be boring. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that. That wouldn't. That, I don't know. That would be.
Yeah, I don't want to see Golden State in the boat. Like, I don't want to see the Hawks in Golden State. That'd be awful.
Oh no, I mean, first of all, we didn't even talk about that the Wizards and the Hawks are playing against each other.
Right.
No one even gives a crap.
They're 1-1. Moving on.
Yeah, I know.
They're 1-1. John Wall actually missed game two after
the Oh, yeah? What happened with him?
Yeah, he is, I believe he turned an ankle, John Wall.
Okay.
So hopefully they'll get him back. I hate, these playoffs have really turned me off a lot.
Yeah, it does.
So many injuries,
and it drags.
Right. Round one always dragged, but if I
It had, never used to be like
I
that.
I had all the guys, if Durant and Westbrook was there, and I wouldn't mind it, but so many guys are hurt. I mean, you just can't keep up.
Do you think it's going to be who would face in the Eastern Conference Finals either one of those two teams, the Bulls or the Cavaliers? Would it be the Hawks or would it be the – oh, my God, God forbid.
I'm still going to say the Wizards. Hawks.
Yeah, I agree.
The Hawks do have home court. I think it's going to be Hawks, Cavs. That was my pick.
Okay.
And then my other pick was Golden State and the Spurs.
But
the Spurs.
Well, yeah, we screwed that up, yeah. But so I say Golden State and the Clippers. But where's the conference finals?
Yes, I would say.
And my first pick is Clippers versus Cavaliers. That's my finals right now. And you say what? What was your first thing?
Clips, Cavaliers.
Oh, you said the same thing too. Okay, so we both.
But what I would like to see is Curry versus LeBron.
Ooh.
You know, the Golden State. And
yeah.
You know, Golden State Clippers.
Golden State.
Golden State Cavs.
I know what you mean. Yeah. But. As far as you know, the Wizards and the Hawks series, this is what we think of it.
That series is 1-1. Last night, John Wall. Go. Actually, the Hawks actually played a very good game last night. They're what they call San Antonio East. They had 30 assists. They assisted on 37 points with 30 assists.
Oh wow!
So very efficient.
Hey, Chris Farley, what do you think of the Hog Sandwiches series?
Well, Lottie freaking God!
I agree. So, any plugs before you have to say
adieu? Real quickly, yeah. I just want to say, I want to shout out Pedro Martinez. One of my all-time favorite Mets, even though he came late. People always ask, I put a question up on Twitter, for Met fans, did they enjoy... Pedro Moore or Johan Moore?
Close.
That guy, Pedro Martinez or Johan Santana. Now, Johan Santana may have been a better Met.
Yeah, his first year was his best year.
Right, he may have gone to, but.
In 08.
Both of those guys, when you got them, they were both on the tail end of their career. And Johan was still young. Johan was still 30. Pedro may have been 32. You know what I mean? But they both broke down because of their size, because of arm problems. Mm-hmm. But he was in. On with Michael Kay.
Mm-hmm, I got to check that out.
And they asked him, I got to get going, but let me tell you real quickly. He asked him about A-Rod.
Oh, yeah, what's about this? Go ahead.
So he said, what do you think about Alex breaking, tying Willie Mays? And he goes, well, I don't think it would be fair for me to sit here and say that that home run is legitimate. It's tied, you know, tied Willie Mays. I don't think it'd be fair to Willie Mays for me to say that that home run or any of Alex's home runs were legitimate.
Gotcha.
Now, me growing up as a loner pretty much with baseball, what he said next kind of got to me because I really, really was able to see what he's talking about. Mm. So he said, now, we know Alex has done and made some mistakes. He's done some dumb things. He said, but the thing that was sad about Alex was that 660, even though it's not legitimate, a lot of people don't consider this homeless legitimate.
Yeah.
He said, it is still an accomplishment, mm-hmm. whether legitimate
True.
Or not.
True. I agree.
And he said, the same Yankee Stadium that me as a opponent used to hear them 50,000 fans roaring, who's your daddy, trying to rattle me. And he said, and here is one of their own breaking that record. He said, nobody celebrated with him. He said he had no one there. He said no members from his family. Mm. No one really embraced him doing that. And he goes, and that's sad to me. Mm-hmm. He said, it was just, you know, him.
And teammates. And the teammates right. that actually, they showed him right. respect. He
said, it was just him out there alone.
Yeah, it was.
And he said,
and that was a pinch hit home run, mind you. And he right. got booed mercilessly.
Right. And he said, you know? He said, that's what's sad to me. He said that he, you know, Alex really, to me, the lesson that if everyone wanted him to learn a lesson, and the pain, he said, I think that to me may have, he said, and that is why he was so emotional and crying and overwhelmed because he felt as though no one cared. Mm-hmm. They didn't make a big deal out of it.
No.
Meanwhile, the Yankees are saying, well, we're not paying him, you know, for the home run.
Mm-hmm.
His family wasn't there to celebrate with him. He said, and, you know, to me, that's his biggest punishment.
That's a huge punishment, even more than the 1 year suspension.
Yeah, he said, so that. He said, Alex had to learn. And the only other thing that was very interesting that he said, so Michael Kay asked him, how close were you ever close to being a Yankee? He said, how close were you to becoming
a Yankee? Oh, I remember that.
And he said, very close.
I remember
he
that
said,
time.
He said, in 2009, well, instead of me, I went to the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He said, I was going to go to the Yankees. I was going to do all my rehab pitching
at
Yankee Stadium. And but then he says, but I do remember right after we won the World Series and I was free agent.
Oh, after 04. I know you're talking
about. Yeah, after
04. And he went to the Mets.
He said, I came very close.
Even then.
To being a Yankee. And he said he was in Yankee Stadium meeting. It was down in Tampa. He was meeting with George Steinbrenner. He said, I went inside and I was sitting with Steinbrenner. And, you know, he was talking to me about, do you want to be a Yankee, this, that, and the other. He goes, as I'm sitting there, Jeter walks past and looks and sees me in the office. Right? So Jeter says, boss, are you going to sign Pedro? And then he says, Steinbrenner really didn't know what to say. And then Jeter goes, boss, sign him right now.
Oh, wow.
Right? Sign him right now.
Because I wouldn't like to have heard that.
don't let him leave. Don't let him leave. Like, sign him right
don't
now.
Don't let him leave you unless you sign him.
Right. And then Steinbrenner goes, oh, you know, we're trying to work it out. So then he said, very interesting. He said that, he goes, you know, I want to sign you, but I'm gonna be honest with you. You've caused me a lot of problems. You've caused me a lot of problems over the years.
Uh-huh.
And he said that one thing George Steinbrenner said to him, he said after he had hit, threw down Zimmer.
Yeah,
George Steinbrenner said, oh, he's going to make, I can make it so you never play in the Major League Baseball again. I'll try to get you thrown out of baseball for what you did. Mm. And he said he told George Steinbrenner, you have enough money to buy every single team in Major League Baseball. He said, but you don't have enough money to put fear into my heart. So George said, I've never gotten over that statement. And he said, I usually have a reply for everything. And I have to admit, I still don't have a reply for when you said that to me.
Wow.
Interesting stuff, man.
Wow,
so,
he
said that.
I got to listen to that.
He said that the only reason he didn't sign, he said, because I'm a loyal guy and I'm an honest guy.
You think about
Boston? And I promised Omar Minaya that that I would give him the first shot.
That's what happened. Okay.
He said if I promised him before, if I leave the Red Sox, I'll give him the first crack to sign me. And then Omar signed me. Right. And then he said, but I do believe that I would have been a Yankee.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, and then the guy said, but one thing, you know, you got, if you become a Yankee, we do things a certain way. You have to cut your hair.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh.
And Pedro said, boss. And he said, and it's funny, I never worked for him, and I was still calling him boss. he said, boss, if I come a Yankee, I work for you. If the boss tells me to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll cut my hair.
Yeah.
And I have to get that book. Just from the stories he was telling, I have to get that book. And he just said that he never met a guy, an owner, who would be willing to do anything to win as much as George Steinbrenner.
That's true, though.
Yeah, he said out of all the owners he ever played for, he said that guy, he said, and it tells. He said you could tell from when you walk in the stadium and see all the banners, you can tell the type of guy he was. I'm going to get – he has a lot of respect for the Yankees. He said that, you know, Yankee fans still – they see him. They tell him, you know what, we hate your guts, but we got so much respect for you.
Yeah, true.
He goes – he gets so much respect from Yankee fans now.
True. Yeah.
Even after all the stuff that was said.
That's true, though.
But he did go on to say that the whole thing with Don Zimmer is his one only regret, that he never got a chance.
Even Zimmer said before he died that he regretted trying to do it. Both men.
He said, I never got a chance to really formally apologize. He did hear that Zimmer said.
Actually,
that.
Zimmer did just after it happened. He said, I'm embarrassed for myself, the Yankee. I remember it was like the next day.
Yep. So
I remember,
he said he never got a chance to formally apologize. Zimmer did, that's me, man, with emotional baseball.
That's cool. I love only baseball does that. Only baseball. No other sport but baseball does that when it comes to
the other sports. It's not personal enough.
No, I agree.
Baseball.
I guess because it's everyday sport.
It's in your soul.
I think it's because it's an everyday sport and it's the best radio sport. You can listen to a game on the radio in baseball and still be like, oh, wow, you're intrigued.
I'm emotional. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I thought you were having allergies. That's what happened. So I'll promote for you.
Yes.
Yeah, at Heaven Hollywood. By the way, I heard. Howard Stern gave a shout out.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, my man. Howard Stern gave a shout out to True Front and Back.
Howard Stern did give a shout out.
How did this happen, real quick?
I was actually up in the city for a meeting. I was trying to get a part of a film project, and I was in the same building, and he was doing a podcast.
I was starting doing a podcast?
Yeah, he was doing like a personal podcast. I don't know whether he was. I think he's trying to start up something else.
Well, he's definitely going to leave Sirius one day. He's fed up with, trust me, he's fed up with Sirius.
His own personal thing or whatever. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I understand.
And then I was trying to get a part. I was like, oh, shit, how it's doing, blah, blah. So part of the production team took me over there to talk to him, said another.
Really?
Yeah, and then he said, oh, so. And I said, yeah, so. You know, I'm gonna get my stuff together, and you know, joking around, I'll send you my shows. He goes, there's always room. He said, there's always room everywhere. There's room everywhere for somebody.
Yeah.
Right. He gave me a good word. He said, there's always room. He said, even when it doesn't seem like there's room, he said, don't like give up on it. Sometimes it could take longer than it should.
Yeah, he's right.
You know,
he's right.
Stuff like that.
Trust me.
He asked me what I did. I told him about the shows or whatever, and he's like, yeah.
Oh, he mentioned Mesh Warmers, by the way?
Yeah, I mentioned everything.
Oh, shit.
I mentioned everything, so then he goes,
oh, my God, that's fucking awesome.
Then, you know, I told him, I, like, gave him the links and everything, and he goes, you know, I'm not going to sit here and BS you and say that I have time, but I will I can, you know, I'll check in, I'll definitely check in, you know, on the stuff. And he goes, oh, so truth front and back, so that, as he told him to play, he goes, oh, so, you know, the truth front and back Thursday he like did the shout on the podcast. I'm gonna try to get a hold.
And what podcast was it?
He's like, I think he's like doing some personal stuff.
Oh, really?
Putting together.
Okay.
He may just do it like on his downtime. Just
really?
Stuff for
I can never see him doing a podcast.
So he was recording a podcast, and he was like, so, you know, we spoke to so Heaven Hollywood, you know, Dollhouse Radio. And he goes, show truth front and back. If you like porn stars, he goes, there's a show, the truth front and back every Thursday nights. You know, he gave the time and everything.
Wow.
And then it was pretty cool. pretty cool guy. And I said,
oh yeah, he's cool.
That, and I said, I got $150 on me if you didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? So,
oh wow,
$100, and he was like, he wouldn't take it.
Yeah, that's him. That's I believe that.
He wouldn't take it. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, all right, get out of here before you get fired. I don't want you to get... Thanks to Heaven Hollywood. I see you next week, brother. Monday night. Yes, you can follow, by the way, as he goes into the distance, Heaven Hollywood Clark, because he doesn't get out of here, to report to his other duties that he's other responsibilities he has to take care of, because we are human beings, ladies and gentlemen. We have other responsibilities we take care of besides doing podcasts and internet radio shows. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Heaven Hollywood. That's at Heaven Hollywood. And follow him. Actually, the Heaven Hollywood Experience, you can follow real quickly. I mean, look into the thing real quickly before I have to get out of here because I got to get going. Let's see. Real quickly. I'm almost on German. Hogan. Hogan's Heroes, anybody doesn't know. Hogan. Heaven Hollywood Experience. Come on, where is it? Are you kidding me? Heaven. Come on, yo. Well, wait, let me do this. I really want to give this up because the homeboy, you know, he does so much for me. I'm trying to get this. Oh, wait. I think I got it. I hate this data. Well, anyway, just look it up. It's at HHX Experience, you know, Hollywood. Damn, I want to get the real. See, I want to get the. I'm sorry. I got to get the real. I want to do a half-ass promotion. So while I'm looking for it, you can follow me on Twitter at YankeeMan1973. That's at YankeeMan1973. You can go to my website, by the way. It's still in its infancy stages, but it's still there's a lot more stuff than it was the first time. And you can go on there. Go to www.jamesacevedo.com. That's JamesAcevedo.com. And let's see right here. I'm trying to... Okay, here's the Heaven Hollywood Experience Twitter page handle. It's at the HHX Experience. That's at for the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience Twitter handle is at the HHX Experience. PERIENCE. So it's at THEHHXPERIENCE for the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience Twitter page. And follow my Twitter page for the Benchwarmers show and the Benchwarmers live show. You go to Twitter at TBWS Podcast. That's at TBWS Podcast. And follow the Dollhouse Radio Twitter page at Dollhouse_Radio. That's at Dollhouse_Radio. Go to Instagram, IG_HotSugar for the Hot Sugar Instagram page, not the Dollhouse Instagram. The Hot Sugar Instagram page, which is, you know, all the gossip news and everything else that's going on, that's on Instagram. It's IG_HotSugar, HOTSUGAR. Yeah, and that's about it, man. You know, my website, everything else, you know, I produce, you know, V's After Dark radio for the Bitter Black Bitch show with Sierra DeVay and Ms. V the Toy Lady. I also co-host with Ms. V the Toy Lady on Tuesday nights. It's all about sex, sex, and more sex. Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. through 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Like I said, I produce Wednesday nights, which is tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Bitter Black Bitch show with Ms. Vita Toile and Sierra DeVay. And Thursdays on V's After Dark Radio, I host Ask Ms. V Sports with me and my co-host, Ms. Vita Toy Lady. Also, always tune in the live version of the Benchwarmers Show podcast, which is the Benchwarmers Live Show, every Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Dollhouse Radio with me and Alana Evans. Alana Evans won't be in this week. So as of now, I'm writing solo, but I'm going to have as a guest 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mr. C, the Dominatrix and radio host on Blog Talk Radio. Yes. So hopefully I'm going to try to get a co-host to co-host with me. If not, I'm going to have to do solo for at least an hour until Mr. C comes on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Benchwarmers Live Show. But listen from the beginning, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Friday, the Benchwarmers Live Show on Dollhouse Radio. Next week, Alana Evans will be on. So just follow me on Twitter at YankeeMe1974. Everything I do, like I say, I host internet radio shows, podcasts, produce, co-host, you name it, I do it. My own website, jamesacevedo.com. I thank you all for listening and tuning in, and we're going to do this next week. And also, we might have Parsons coming in. Remember, I had him on like over a month ago when Heaven wasn't in here. We might have Parsons coming in here with Heaven Hollywood. So hopefully, you know, he's from the Sports Lies and Videotape, which has been in hiatus for a while. That's Heaven's sports show on Dollhouse Radio. It's been on hiatus because it's going through changes. So hopefully Mr. Parsons will be in here with us. So that'll be the three men, the Treacherous Three, for the Benchwoman Show podcast. So we'll see next Wednesday. We're definitely doing a show next Wednesday, unless something happens, which I hope, knock on wood, nothing happens. And like I said, this Friday, tune in to Benchwoman's live show at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where my guest would be Mr. C. See you all later on this week. We'll catch tonight, you know, for the Bitter Black Bitch show that I produce. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and all the other stuff. Just follow me on Twitter. You get everything. I tweet like a man. So have a great week and weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Until next week for the Benchwoman Show podcast, I say peace and ladies and to me. Cult of personality.